had an R&R time with the Lord. What an R&R time is? Yes. Shut it down. Don't do anything. Okay, Lord. So I did. I came out of the R&R. I said, Lord, is there anything on your heart? I heard no. Is there anything for tonight? I heard no. So I'm sitting over there just after communion. Lord, what are we doing? And he says, you already opened up the subject, so now let the questions come. So, what are your questions? What's on your heart? What's bugging you? If there's something stirring inside, it's time to hear it. Who can tell me what the Star of David represents? Why is it part of our logo? Anybody want to take a stab at it?
If it goes, the part that goes up,
yep,
is us,
yep,
or man.
Yep.
And the part coming down is the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's our intertwining or,
yep,
being connected with Him.
Yeah. And we're one with Him. It's actually a prophetic message from King David where the harmony of God and the harmony of man would be made into one unit. That's also quite a nasty thing that Hitler was doing, but he was actually confirming the power of that particular logo. Because he made sure that every Jew that was facing death had to wear it on their arm. And they wore it proudly. Because they were united to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they knew it. At least those that had knowledge of the Word knew. That's, the, you know, hey. But they were forced to wear it. And it became a sign of death. So it shows you that the world system and Hitler's ideology was to make sure that he got rid of God and his interference and intermingling with man. There was a program on, I think, National Geographic's about the Gestapo the other night. And periodically the Lord will press me to listen to some of that because it's really a picture of the pressure of the Antichrist spirit and what it was able to do in the 1940s and 30s. And I think sometimes we underestimate when God is really allowing some of this stuff to be put on the air. It's not advertising, you know, the enemy. It's really advertising God's transformation. Because look what God has done with Germany. Today, Germany is an ally to Israel. Talk about a turnaround. Talk about a testimony God did, literally, for all the nations to see. And today, the European countries that couldn't stand the Jew are eating their fruits and vegetables and they're using their flowers. Yeah. I mean, you know, when you think of the transformation of the 60 years, actually 70 years now. So, it's not a bad logo. And of course, the reason we had the earth was that all the earth would have the presence of God and the presence of man united as one. Your vision about your trees, that their roots are intermingled, really is because our roots now are in God. And we're interconnected. We came out of the dirt. They're visible. Which is the earthly. So whenever you have the earth, it's really talking about the flesh. Remember, man, that thou art dust and into. That was the old covenant. Remember, man, that you are spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:26, 23, rather. You are spirit, soul, and body. You're not dust. The dust has been what? Recreated. If your dust is recreated, it's now what? Potential for eternal. Potential for transformation. Potential for transfiguration. It's up to you and me. What do we do with it? So we've got the unity. The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in us. Our spirit, soul, and body reaching out to Him and connecting. Uniting. Actually marinating together. And when the anointing is there, we can do all things through the anointing. We can do all things through the anointing that strengthens us. So when you take that word, Christ, and you realize the power of that word, when you transform it to its original meaning, which is the anointing, then you don't want to live without the anointing. As soon as somebody tries to steal it or pull it away from you, or even if you go back into your dust mode, how many know what the dust mode is? The fleshy stuff starts to take over and you start reacting and your mouth goes off in the wrong place and blah, 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 and you all know that. That's your dust. That's the dust that's just kicking up a storm. As quickly as you recognize it, the Holy Spirit, the anointing says, hey, look at how far back you just jumped off the track. And when you see you jumped off the track, sometimes you need to call for help. Amen? And is there anything wrong with calling out for help? Thank you. Because when you humble yourself and you ask for prayer and you say, God, I'm having a hard time, to your friend or your buddy or whatever, whomever, God will honor that because that's humbling yourself. How many can go for a cup of coffee in the last 4 hours?
We can.
Well, I had a praise report today. A couple of our ladies went for coffee I presume it was supposed to be a breakfast.
Yeah. Presumed, yeah.
It was presumed to be breakfast. But they stayed for lunch. See, when the Holy Spirit's in something, it doesn't become just a normal get-together. It becomes a Holy Ghost encounter. And the anointing breaks the yoke. The anointing takes over that, you know, realm of deception that we might have lived in our dusty day. Because yes, we live in the earth world. Amen? And sometimes we kick up some dust. And sometimes we spread some dust. How many have spread a few dusty corners? You got a vacuum cleaner? Clean it up. You know? And get quickly back on track as best you can. And if you need to have prayer, good heavens, call, help, please, do something. But don't stay in deception. Don't stay alone. Well, nobody really cares about you. That's a lie. God cares about you. And your brothers and sisters are ready and waiting for you to open up. I can remember there was a time, in fact, there's one person that's been on my heart now for weeks and weeks. I said, Lord, can I call? And the Lord said, no. Lord, I'd love to go help. He says, yes, but you'd make a mess. How many know you pull the cake out of the oven early? What happens? And who gets for dessert? You get crumb cake instead of the good stuff. Right? You can't pull something out too quickly. Because if you do, you make a mess. And multiples of times, my flesh would take over years back. I'm not quite as bad today, but I've learned to wait, and your vision is right. Because even if he cut it off, what do I do? Now what? You know? Chain's coming off.
Yeah, I was thinking to myself, I would have jumped up and ran. You were just sitting here.
Yeah. Well, again, it goes back to John chapter 5, and I gave that to somebody over the phone. John chapter 5. Jesus never did anything to please himself. Well, you know, that's the hardest lesson I've ever had to learn. Not to react to what has just been given. Not to react to the natural things that are going on, but to wait. I remember years back when we were at St. Anne's. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I understand it now. Then it was a song. Some of those old songs had lots of meaning. We couldn't digest it. We were just happy kids, just been freed up. You know, and that's where we were. And the same thing at Grace. When I went to Grace for the wedding, I said, oh my God, Lord. And I'm sitting in memory lane. I couldn't help it. I was sitting in memory lane. And I mean, it's not a bad thing. I'm not criticizing. I was literally sitting in memory lane. I was just humming along and just saying, oh God, Lord. Those were awesome days. Those were wonderful days. Those were days of God's grace and mercy and letting me mature. Did I understand it as I was going through it? I think sometimes I did. How many know sometimes you know that you did accomplish a purpose in a season of your life? But were you fully aware of what God was doing? No. You really didn't have a clue. I mean, you knew something was up, but the fullness was not understood. Do I have an understanding now of why I was there for 18 years? No. Truthfully to you, I don't understand it fully. I understand a part of it. I understand that there are things that God still shows me, and it's not to be revealed. It's not to be let out. It's to be held in my heart. Look at your neighbor. Say, do you know how to keep a secret? Say, so do I. Many years ago, a friend of mine taught me that one. And, well, why can't you tell me now? Well, do you know how to keep a secret? Yep. So do I. And I can hold on to that secret now. At one time I couldn't. I would have babbled. You know. I believe God is preparing us for a very different feast this year. And the challenges have been equally baffling. The pressure tactics that are on to the saints. And I'm telling you right now, many of you are in very precious, tight spaces that you can't move. And like myself, I can't move. Not supposed to. It's not a problem. You have to choose to rest in it as best you can. Purpose to speak to your body and say, rest. Be at peace. God's in charge. Now, the brains are saying, why can't you perform and do this? Why can't you jump to this, you know, platform and perform like you used to? Then you wouldn't get a miracle. You'd have work. How many know they can work yourself right out of a problem? But will you actually erase the miracle that God had planned for you? Yes, you will. The hardest thing to do when God tells you to rest is to literally sit there and not do something. It is so hard. Because you so want to solve. Yes? I remember one time there was a major issue between my wife and I, and I was determined that I was tired of watching her suffer. So I said to the Lord, I want to help. And so now I'm prepared. And I've got my list of tools and maybe words that I'm going to speak, etc., etc. It's all prepared. It's all, the whole speech is ready. And I go to church, and the Lord used an individual that had no clue and said, remember, your wife is a mature woman. She is in the hands of God, and He can handle her all by Himself. He's God. The tears are rolling out of my eyes. And, okay, I got it. But what do I do with my message? Rest. So my emotions were screaming, but the grace of God prevailed. I let go. And a few days later, I started to see the change. And I started to see the turnaround that was going on. And I said, oh my God, He did it. And then a few weeks back, actually, several days ago, I listened to John Paul Jackson on It's Supernatural. Anybody hear it? No? You did? Okay. His comment on there about their people of the earth are going to learn He's God and they're not. He's God and they're not. In other words, he has received information from the Lord back in the 80s that there's going to be a great perfect storm. In other words, there's things that are being prepared by God to teach the nations. Did you hear me? Nations with an S. So it's not all about U.S. or Canada or America. It's about all the earth. And the reason I giggled is because he shared with the people that I happened to be with one night. The Holy Spirit sent them to Texas after I got to meet him in the 80s. And so the middle of the 90s, or early 90s, I believe, he was pastoring a church down in Texas, near Dallas, I believe. And the body of believers, it was, I don't know how large of a building or whatever, but it was a nice building. And the Lord provided multiples of peoples to come and so on and so forth, and lots of miracles and so on. But he had a very aggressive doctor, but I don't know if he was a doctor, like medical, but he was a doctor. Very highly educated man. And he said, when's God going to show up? And John Paul says, well, when he's ready. And I believe we're sitting in that same space. When God does show up, what are you going to do? And so the doctor said, every single week he was, you know, saying, well, Pastor, John Paul, we've got to do something because God hasn't shown up. And I don't know, but, you know. So, how will I know? How will I know that God showed up? So John Paul said, well, when he shows up, believe me, you're going to know it. Well, several weeks or months, I don't know how many numbers of whatever, went by. But this one night, I guess the Holy Spirit had warned him, and the following Sunday morning, he went up to go preach. They had some worship or whatever, songs, or, and all of a sudden the anointing came. And couldn't preach. God just literally took over the whole body of believers. And when the anointing fell, the particular doctor was on the floor, and he was on his hands and knees, and his nose was literally to the rug. And he was literally forced on his hands and knees to just keep walking on his fours with his nose to the carpet. And John Paul said, I watched him. And he went around the whole sanctuary 3 or 4 times with his nose rubbing into the carpet. And finally, he fell under the anointing. And so John Paul said, when he got up, well, he said, Doctor, tell us what happened, you know. And the doctor said, all I kept hearing in my head was, I'm God and you're not. Are you going to let me rule and reign in this church? And so now the message is going to the nations. It's the same message. He was breaking the pride of this man that wanted to activate things ahead of God's schedule. John Paul was willing to wait. He had learned how to wait. Okay? So, he's God and we're not. He's bringing down his presence within us, going and reaching out to him, making that Star of David a reality for us. So that vision is very important, girl. Would you put your Bibles down? Would you stand up? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Say, Holy Spirit, we're asking you to be everything that we need in these days ahead. When you are ready to release yourself into us and manifest your presence in a mighty way, so that God will be ruling in this house. Not us. But as we reach out to you and say, have your way, Lord. Do what you want with the house of prayer. We are yours. We are here to reach out to you. But we're planning on you coming down. And we're saying, come on down, Lord. I pray we're ready. We know that you are God. And we know we are not God. And we don't want to play your role. Not for the church. Not for our home. Not for our families. Not for our loved ones. But trusting your Holy Ghost to orchestrate your perfect plan for all that are in our hearts. In Jesus' name, we pray. And even those that are listening to this message, Father, I thank you that they will have the courage to just repeat that prayer and really release themselves to the Lord so that God can have his way. Amen? Amen.